Lord. He is Lord. Amen. Amen. Fantastic song. Appreciate that, ladies. And that was a blessing. That's exciting. I love that. And one of these days, that's what we're talking about in Revelation class, show thyself. And he's going to. And every tongue shall confess. Those that blaspheme, those that curse his name, those that are anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian, they will bow before him and confess that he is Lord, because he is Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a blessing. Well, Deuteronomy 15, and I think I must have told Tim to stop at verse 15, so let me go on into the actual text, and I'm not sure what happened there, but that's all right. Verse 16, it shall be if he say unto thee, let's go back to verse 15, thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore, I command thee this thing today, talking about this man who served now 6 years. It shall be if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever. And also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. And so here's a man that served 6 years, and in the seventh year he's to be let go free, and but he has a choice. He can, according to the law and according to what the Bible says here, he can say unto thee, verse 16, I will not go away from thee because he loveth thee and thine house, because he is well with thee. And so he has been a servant, a slave, if you will, a bondman for 6 years. In the seventh year, he can be free, but he chooses not to be. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, a servant's love. Father, I pray that you will bless now as we finish up our series talking about love, as we finish it up this week. I pray that you will help us to understand there is no love without you. There is no love like you love. There's no self-sacrificing agape love without your love, without you. And I pray if anybody here is not saved, that you'd save them today so they could know that love. But I pray especially that you will challenge Christians today to have a servant's love, as we see here in Deuteronomy 15 of your word. Please bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, our theme for 2013 is for such a time as this, and the month of February is a time for love. We have seen the Savior's love, the source of love, scriptural love, our study of 1 Corinthians 13 on Wednesday nights, the security of love, and then last week we talked about a story of love, and this morning I want to talk to you about a servant's love. This passage is such a blessing to me, and it's also found in the book of Exodus. But I love this passage. Here's a man that the law says that he can be free. When thou sendest him out, verse 13, free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. He's not only going to be free, but thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor, out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. In other words, he's gonna in the seventh year of his service, he's gonna be let go. He was bought, and he's been a servant. He's been a slave to this man all this time, and now it's time for him to be free. He's not only going to be free, but he gets he's going to be blessed with from the flock. He's going to be blessed from the floor. He's going to be taken care of. And it's not like he's going out here and starting all over, but the Bible says that this man, and I love verse 16, this servant now, he has the right now to say, you know what? I don't want to be free. I want to serve you. I've enjoyed serving you. I've realized how much you love me, and I want to just go on and serve you. And so they take this man, and they take an awl, and they put the man's ear up against the doorpost, and they take that awl, and they pound on it, or whatever they would do, and they put a hole in that man's ear that proves that he is now a servant for life. And that is his choice. He is going to be a servant, according to the scripture, a servant, verse 17, forever. Wow. I mean, what a change. And what's his reasoning behind all of this? Well, he says he loves his master. He loveth thee and thine house. Oh, and he's well with thee. He says, you know what? I just want to stay here. I want to serve you forever. I don't want to go out on my own. I love you. I love your house. I love your family. I love serving you. Can I stay? And they make that oath together. You see, by choice, he was motivated by a servant's love for his master. Now, this morning's message could help every relationship that we are part of if we'll let it. I mean, honestly, it could help. The whole month talking about love, ultimately, it comes back to God's love for us. For God so loved the world, he gave. Real love always gives. And we'll finish up, Wednesday night, we'll finish up with 1 Corinthians 13. But we'll finish up tonight talking about sincerity, the sincerity of our love. But ultimately, it comes down to giving to the object or the one that we love. The servant here says, I want to serve you because I love you. I want to be your servant because I've chosen to love you. John 15:15, look at it real quick. John 15:15. This can help our relationship with God. And boy, this is a great verse to consider when we think about serving God. And by the way, all over this room are people that serve God. All over our campus today are people who are serving God. We have folks in the nursery serving God. We have people in 4- and 5-year-olds serving God. 2- and 3-year-olds are serving God. We have people in the toddler area that are serving God and watching our babies. We have the 1st through 3rd grade junior church over at the school. They're serving God. We have the shepherd's workers. They're just about now getting ready to dismiss. Won't be long. They'll dismiss, but they're over there serving God. We have 4th through 6th grade junior church, and they're serving God. We have people here that serve God. You'll serve God today. Some just sang in the choir. Some sang a beautiful special a while ago, playing the instruments, the organ, the piano, serving God. We have a Sunday school teacher serving God throughout the week. People go soul winning, people on bus routes, people involved in master clubs, people going to the prisons, people going to the nursing homes, serving God. And so, have you ever thought about why do I serve God? What is it that is my motivation as far as serving God? Are we afraid God's going to knock us upside the head? I'll have to admit, every now and then, sometimes I have served God with that motivation. You know, well, if I don't do it, God's going to knock me upside the head. I better do it. What is your motivation? What is our reasoning? All right, and how does that have anything to do with our relationship with God? How does that have anything to do with our relationship with our family? Well, look at John 15:15. It says this. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Here's a relationship with God, okay? Go back to Deuteronomy and consider our servant here, who is a servant. But now he says to his master, I love you. He says to his master, I want to serve you forever. And wouldn't you think by now, wouldn't you think the master now is going to think, that's my friend. That's my friend. And so it helped the relationship. Look at Ephesians 5:21. Here's where we get the idea that really so many people don't think about, and our world is so opposite of this Bible truth. It is just amazing. We are so into everything for ourselves. Ephesians 5. And verse 21, it is the verse I start with all the time in marriage counseling. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another. What's that mean? Serve one another. What can I do for you? That's husband to the wife, wife to the husband, church member to the church member. How can I serve you? And so the relationship, you say, okay, well, I'll do that because I'm supposed to do it. And if you do it because you're supposed to do it, you won't do it very long. You won't. You know, a woman says, all right, God says I'm supposed to submit to my husband. I'll submit to him. But, you know, and you know what? You might do it for a while, but you won't do it very long. And that's because you're missing a servant's love. The servant's love is a key element. Why do Christians drop out? Why do folks that are busy serving God one day, they're doing nothing the next? Why is it that people that are, you know, they're on fire for God one day, boy, I'll work a bus route, I'll teach a Sunday school class, I'll sing in the choir, boy, I'm so excited. How can they be so on fire for God, it seems, in one day, and then they don't even go to church? On the other side of that, how can there be so many that it is evident they love God? They say, I love God, but they never do anything for God. And eventually their love grows cold and they don't even talk like they love God anymore. Hey, how is it that a couple can stand up at the marriage altar and they can look at each other with goo-goo eyes and they're just smiling and I'm, you know, trying to wax eloquent or the reverend, you know, is trying to wax eloquent in the ceremony and everything, and they're goo-goo eyeing each other and they're giggling and holding, you know, and they're all excited and giddy and everything. And how can that turn into, I hate you? You know, what in the world? How does that happen? Well, it happens because I think the truth that is found right here in Deuteronomy 15. Let's look at some things, really just three things this morning that deal with a servant's love. Number one, the first thing we see is his service. His service. This servant, the Bible says he was bought, if thy brother an Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman be sold unto thee. Here's somebody who was sold to a man who had the money to buy them. And again, this happened all the time in the Old Testament times. And so he was sold to this man, and for 6 years he worked for his master. All right, he had no choice. This was his lot in life, to be a servant to the master. And he was to be a servant for 6 years. In the seventh year, he would be freed. But along the way, he started out working for the master, but somewhere along the way, he started working with his master. Are you listening to me? I mean, honestly, it is so important that we get that first little principle, all right? You who are serving God today, if all you ever do is work for your master, somewhere down the line, you're going to become cumbered with much serving. Somewhere down the line, you're going to become burdened with much serving if you're just working for your master. But this guy, eventually, he started working with his master. And as he worked with his master, he realized that his master cared about him. Now, I understand that in Old Testament times and throughout the history of mankind, there have been many masters who did not care about their servants. There have been many masters who were cruel and were terrible and were mean. And we're nasty. Let me just say this. As a Christian today, I can tell you this. My master, before I got saved, was cruel. He sure didn't care about me. He sure wasn't interested in doing anything for me. No, he wasn't. But my God always has been interested in me. But for 6 years, he worked for his master. But along the way, he worked with his master. In fact, the Bible says that, and I love it how it says it here in Deuteronomy, because he is well with thee. That's a master and a servant. That's the servant's viewpoint. He says, I love him, but he says, everything's well with us. We're friends. You know, this obviously, this servant could sit down and eat a meal with his master. This servant could, he could go to the store with his master. He could do things with his master. It is well with thee. Something impressed this servant along the way. He got to know his master, and for 6 years, somewhere along the way, he became not just his master, but he became his friend. He became his friend. I'll be honest with you. It's a whole lot easier working for somebody that is your friend than it is for somebody that's your master. It's a whole different relationship. It's a whole different world when you're working with somebody instead of working for a master. He became his friend. Now look, if we're really paying attention in our life, if a human being, a man, a woman, is really paying attention from the time they're just a child to whatever age, they'll find out God's good. I mean, if they're really paying attention, I know, I understand the school systems and so many people, oh, there's no God and, you know, man does his own thing and billions of years and all that kind of garbage. But if folks are really paying attention, they'll realize God's good. God's good, especially if they live here in America. I just can't imagine anybody living in America not being able to go to bed at night and saying, you know, God's good. God sure has given us a great place, especially if you know what goes on in other places. You know, it's just, God is so good. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I mean, if along the way somebody recognizes that God is good, surely then God says that that'll lead them to repentance, to get right with God, to it being well between them and God. I mean, for us, you know, America, the beauty, a day, the sun rising, the sun setting, the beauty of rain, the beauty, you know, all around us, food in our bellies, shelter over our heads. I mean, if you're really looking around, if you're really observing your years growing up, you recognize God's good. You recognize if you're smart, if you're paying attention, you recognize the only real bad that happens in my life is a result of me doing something wrong. Come on, I mean, you go through school. Oh, you know, school, most of the bad that took place in school was because you did something wrong. I mean, principals didn't just, you know, I go back to several principals that I had that a couple times they had to inflict very severe punishment upon an area that God prepared for punishment. But it wasn't them, it was me. You know, as long as I did what I was supposed to do, they didn't have to get out that long chunk of wood. You know, they as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, the teacher, I remember Mrs. Ballinger, and how many of you remember getting smacked on the knuckles with a ruler? All right, even got an amen out of that. Praise the Lord. I don't remember it being an amen moment, but it was like an oh me moment. But we remember that. I think the amen was because those were the good old days. Boy, I can still remember Mrs. Bowden, just a little short thing. I mean, she's just a little short woman. But she knew how to snap that wrist. You know, all right, hold out your hand. No, 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 no. And boy, she whack, 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 you know. And it's like, whoa. And I mean, you're like this, you know. And guys, you're not supposed to cry. You know, let the girls cry. We guys are tough, you know. You know, and you're holding that back. But the bad that happened to me was because I did something wrong. If folks are really paying attention, along the way, they realize, our God's good. My God, our God, He gives us food to eat. He gives us water to drink. He takes care of us. Our God is so good. And when there's bad, usually it's my own fault. Well, it's true. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell, but I realized God made a way so I could go to heaven, and therefore God's good. I still remember the day I got saved, and I'd been thinking all along that God is so good to give me this opportunity so I can be saved. But I didn't get saved till I was 17 years old, but all along the way, I recognized I need a Savior. I need to be saved. Number one, his service. Number two, we see his love. His service became love. And I think that's amazing. This servant eventually loved his master. Now, he loved him while he was going through the process of serving him. But he finally, you know, eventually was serving because he had to. But eventually that changed over to love. You know, it's interesting. God commands, he said, first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. And the Bible's very, very clear. We've already talked about that. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, so the only way I can obey the commandment to love the Lord thy God is I got to recognize he loved me first. And then I get saved, and then I can really love the Lord thy God. Salvation is the key to that. We love him because he first loved us. He died for us. And again, along the way of my life in this world, I recognize that he loved me enough to die on a cross for me. He paid the price so I could be saved. And along the way, I recognize that he is God. He is Lord, as the lady sang a little while ago. And wow, I mean, if he'll save me, if he'll let me be a part of his family, wow, he's a good God. And then I love him. Now again, you know, I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't want punishment. I didn't want all of that. But when I recognize that God made a way, doesn't it frustrate you when people don't want to hear that? God made a way for us to be saved. God made a way so you could go to heaven. God made it possible so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Wow, doesn't that? I mean, honestly, it came to the place at the age of 17 where I called on him to save me. And right then, right there, I can honestly say, I love God. He made a way for me to be saved. He made a way. This servant, he recognized that along the way, my master, he feeds me. My master, he clothes me. My master, he gives me water. My master works with me. My master, wow, he loves me. He loves me. And he recognizes that to the place where when he's given a choice, what's he do? He says, I want to serve him the rest of my life. I choose him. Now, it's the same thing as far as us with God. We go through our life. We recognize eventually how good God is. Ultimately, God made a way so we could be saved. Ultimately, God made a way so that we could go to heaven. God made a way so that we could be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God made it possible for my sins to be forgiven, for my guilt to be removed. God did all of that. And I called upon him and he saved me. And I said, wow, this is so good. I love God. I love God. A couple, the terminology love at first sight is really kind of silly. We understand it. I've made reference to that myself with Brenda and I when we met. You know, I saw her, and I think I wrote a poem once about her braces were glistening in the sunlight, and they were sending Morse code. You know, and it's real, real juicy and romantic, but I mean, really, that's all kind of silly. It could be a great infatuation at first sight, but that's not as romantic, and it's hard to find anything that rhymes with infatuation. But we can say this, that after a while of getting to know each other, after a while of dating, after a while of talking, and in our case, after hundreds of dollars of long distance, remember long distance? Long distance phone calls. After a while of getting to know one another, we could say we love each other. There is that love. And we came to a place where we said, I want to submit to you the rest of my life. And she said, I want to submit to you the rest of my life. And we love each other. And we got married. It's like the servant with his master. After 6 years, he said, I love you. I don't want to leave you. That's what happens with a couple. Again, in the beginning, it's kind of silly, you know, and everything. But it eventually, once you get to know each other, it becomes love. The servant says this. He says, because of my love, he says, I will not go away. Verse 16. I will not go away. Why? Because of love. His slavery, if you will, has become love. His forced service has become, I love you. His position as a bondman is no longer that. Now it's a friend. I love my master. I don't want to leave him. It is well between us. We're friends. I want to serve him the rest of my life. What a difference that is. Now watch this, and we'll get to the back page, and then that'll be it, and it'll go real fast. Service brought love. And it brought love enough to say, I make the choice, I want to serve. And now love has brought service as the awl is poking a hole in his ear because he said, I love you, now I'll serve you. Wait a minute, it started out with, I have to serve you, but I'm starting to love you. Now I love you, I choose to serve you. There's a huge difference. Your marriage today is, well, I have to do this, so I'll do it. It's why your marriage isn't working. Your relationship, well, I have to love my brethren. That's why you're miserable in church. Well, I guess I have to love these kids in this Sunday school class. That isn't going to work very long. Well, I guess I'll do all the work in the church. And you know what, with that kind of reasoning and attitude, you're not going to last. You're going to be cumbered with much service. Number one is his service. Number two is his love. That brings us to the third thing, and that's a servant's love. A servant's love. That is the key to everything right there. A servant's love. Well, preacher, it can't be the same way it is here. This servant said, I choose. Put the hole in my ear. I choose my master. I love my master. I choose my master. I will serve him now forever. It's a servant's love. Let me show you some things. John 14, verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, we already know that. Okay, Jesus said it very clearly. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Now go to 1 John 2, verse 5. 1 John 2 and verse 5. Okay, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5, notice what he says. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, wait a minute. In John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But in 1 John 2, verse 5, he says, if you keep my commandments, that means you love me. Wow. Yeah. So, in one sense, I'm loving him. And the reason I love him, and so I will serve him. And in another verse, I'm serving him, and I'm loving him. And the more I love, the more I serve. The more I serve, the more I love. And this is why our relationships fall apart. Wait a minute. Who did the servant love? The master? You suppose in the 6 years, I just want you to contemplate this for a minute. You suppose in the 6 years that he served, that some of the other servants were a pain to him? Maybe along the way? Probably. Knowing mankind, probably. You suppose maybe he even got cheated by a few or done wrong by a few or something else happened. But it was not about all the other servants. Who was it? It was about the master. You know, in marriage, it's never been about... When I married my wife and when we said our vows to one another, it was never about everybody else. You know what? It was always about us. It wasn't about how the kids turn out. It wasn't about how jobs worked. It wasn't about house payments. Never was. What was it? It was always about us. I chose to love her. She chose to love me. Are y'all listening? It's not about everything else. What about when the dog dies? Dogs do die. Well, what about when somebody gets sick? People do get sick. It was never about that. It was about us. It was us submitting ourselves to each other. I'll serve you, you serve me. That's what it was always about. Yeah, but what about when the washing machine breaks? That had nothing to do with it. What about the cars not running? That hadn't got anything to do with it. What about the economy? That has nothing to do with it either. It's about me taking care of her and her taking care of me. The servant says, well, why would you want to stay with me? I love my master and his family, and it's well between us. Well, what about the cook? You know, she fed you some stuff that was pretty nasty, but it's never been about the cook. It's about me and my master. Well, what about the blacksmith? You know, blacksmith, he did you wrong the other. Oh, I know he did, but it's not about the blacksmith. It's about my master. Hey, years ago when I fell in love with my Savior, and all through these years, I've loved him and I've worked and I've loved him and I've worked. It was never about everything else that was going on. It was always about him. All the other stuff, well, it just happens. But what are you going to do? I said I would serve him. I'm going to serve him. And by serving him, I love him. And the more I love him, the more I serve him. And the more I serve him, the more I love him. And the more I love him, the more I serve him. And the more I serve him, the more I love him. Are you listening? And it just keeps going like that. And it just keeps going like that. Eventually, I just love him. And that love for him makes me want to serve him. Well, yeah, but what about all the, you know, some days you become totally oblivious to all the other things. I go home to be with my wife, and honestly, I'm pretty much oblivious to everything else that just happened. Because I don't bring it home. Besides that, I'm in love with her. Why? Because I've loved her, and we've worked together. And the more we worked, the more we loved. The more we loved, the more it made us want to work. And the more we worked, the more it made us want to love. Hey, amen. This is good stuff. Some of you are frowning. I would think you'd be really happy. All right, let me give you some other stuff. I'm on the back page. It's just a servant's love is a balance, is really all it is. What caused the servant to love? It had nothing to do with everybody else. It had everything to do with the master, his house, and it was well with him. Totally. Well, what causes a servant to love and what will cause more service? Well, it's love. What caused a servant to love? He worked with him. He worked for him. He worked with him. Well, what will cause service? He loves him. Martha was serving, the Bible says, and Mary was at Jesus' feet. Remember the story? Don't have time to get into it. Martha was serving. She's working. Can you see her? You know, she's got I started to say pork chops. That would have been totally wrong. It could not be pork chops. She's got the roast beef. Anyway, she's got the T-bone steaks on the grill, and she's working hard, and the fried taters and onions in the skillet, and she's working real hard. And Martha's doing all the working. What's Mary doing? The Bible says she is at Jesus' feet. And she's listening and loving him, right? What happened to Martha? Eventually, the Bible says she was cumbered. With what? With much serving. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, she's talked about Mary and maybe pointed at Mary and said, she's chosen the better part. Now, here's the key. The work had to be done, right? But shouldn't you spend some time at Jesus' feet? Work, love, work. Love, work, love, because the more you work, the more you love. Oh, if you're just working as a slave, if you're just working as a worker and you don't work with him, what'd Jesus say? He said, take my yoke upon thee. What's a yoke? A yoke is a piece of wood, could be a piece of iron, that puts you working with the one right next to you. Take my yoke upon you. It's his yoke. He's yoked on one side, you're yoked on the other side, and you're constantly talking, constantly fellowshipping, constantly enjoying, but you're working. Hey, if you teach a Sunday school class without him, then you're Martha. If you go soul winning without him, then you're Martha. Run your bus route without him, you're Martha. Work your job without him, you're Martha. But if you yoke up with him, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, well, just being around him, you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to work with him. And then you work. And the more you work with him, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you want to work with him. And the more you work with him, the more you want to love him. You see, it's the servant's love is, I want to work with him. It's not grievous. When you love him, his commandments are not grievous. Obeying him is no big deal. I'm yoked up with him. I work with him. I love him. I want to serve him. It's no big deal. I want to work hard for him. It's to want to. And then when you want to, it's not cumbersome. I'll tell you where Christians get burnt out. It's when they don't want to anymore. Why wouldn't they want to? Because they're not working with him. When you work with him, you want to. You say, how do you know? Been there. Probably every one of us has. It's not good. Hey, there's folks this morning didn't even think about going to church who used to teach Sunday school. Folks didn't even think about going to church today who used to be on a bus route. Now, I'm not mad at it. I'm just saying what happens is you do all the work, but you don't love. And if you don't love, if you don't have a prayer time, Bible reading, if you eventually, you know what? You say, I'm not doing this anymore. Jesus said, come to my feet. Spend time with me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. The best way. By the way, it's the same way in marriage. You get married and you have goo-goo eyes toward each other. You do any, oh, honey, I'd swim the deepest sea. You know you're never going to be asked to. You know, I'd climb the highest mountain. But that's so silly to say. You know, I'd climb the highest mountain. Would you quit clipping your toenails and leaving them on the floor? I don't care if you'll climb a dumb mountain. Amen? Quit picking your nose and wiping it on the couch. Right? Seriously, I mean, we're talking about marriage issues that oh, I'll do anything for you. But the fact of the matter is, she just wants to sit and talk like you used to. I mean, no, don't raise your hand. if you've counseled as much as I've counseled, I'd if you'd give me a dollar for every time somebody said to me, I just want it to be how it was when we first met. I'd be a rich man if I had a dollar every time. If it could just be how it was when we first met. What do you mean? He talked to me. He talked and asked me questions. And see what happens. You get married. You're working together. But all of a sudden, for some reason, you quit talking to each other. For some reason, you quit communicating. For some reason, you were all goo-goo eyes and everything else. And all of a sudden now that it's different. Well, we're working together. We're you know, she has a job, I have a job. She does things around the house. I go out to work or we both go to work and we have our jobs. I mow the grass. And do you ever just sit and tell her how beautiful she is? Ma'am, do you ever tell him what a hunk he is? Oh, he's a hunk, all right. Anyway, but you did all that stuff. Yeah, remember when he brought you flowers the first time? You went, and you were so excited. Remember? And now it's, yeah, just put them in a vase. Put them on the table. Don't you know they make me sneeze? They made you sneeze back then, but it was different. But see, you work together and you love. And the more you love, the more you want to work. And the more you work together, the more you love. And we, for some reason, we don't do that. Yeah. What's it going to be? Look, listen. What will make your love grow for one another? I'm going to tell you. It's so simple. It's working together. How's my love going to grow for God? I love him. When I got saved, I loved him. But it was piddly compared to today. It's embarrassing to think how little and shallow it was compared to today. But I've loved him, and then I've worked for him. I've served him. And the more I've served him, the more I loved him. And the more I loved him, the more I served him. And the more I served him, the more I loved him. Praise God. What's made our love grow? I mean, honestly, I thought I loved her when we got married. But I'm embarrassed now when I think about it. What's made it grow? It's grown because we've loved and worked and loved and worked. Revelation, Church of Ephesus. What's the Bible say? It says they left their first love. What was the solution? It's so obvious. The solution, what was the solution? Do the first what? Works. Do the first works. What'd you do first? I have somewhat against thee. You've left your first love. Jesus says, I'm hurt. What did he say is the solution? Do the first works. Yeah, work together. Yoke with me. Work with me, Jesus says. When you worked with me, you were excited. When you work with me, your love for me grew. When you just work, we grow apart. It's a balance. Do the first works, serving one another. Same way with Jesus, same way with church work, same way with a husband and a wife. Not just the motions of work, not just the motions of love, but both together. We first get saved, we love him because he first loved us. I mean, it's kind of a gushy kind of love. Honestly, when I got saved, it was kind of, you know, you get tingles and everything. It's kind of a gushy sort of thing. I know the Bible says ye may know that you have eternal life, and I know somebody gave me that verse, and that was good. But to be honest with you, it just kind of felt good. That doesn't last long, though, does it? Yeah, because it feels good, and the next day you find out your transmission's gone in your car. Thought you loved me. Okay, you know, we find out that has absolutely nothing to do with his love toward us. But the fact of the matter is, how is the feel-good love going to grow into love? Well, there's only one way, and that is take my yoke upon you, learn of me, work with him. It's to love him and work with him and love him and work with him and love him and work with him. And before you get up and teach your Sunday school lesson, oh God, you got to help me. That's precious. It's precious. It's before you go soul winning. Oh God, I need your help. I don't know what to tell these people. It's before you go somewhere to buy something. It's God, give me a deal. And you love him, and you work with him, and you love him, and you work, and you love him, and you read his word, and his word is special, and his word tells you how to live that day, and it's so precious to you, and you're not just going through the motions of either love or work, but you're doing both. Learn of me. To learn is to make my love grow. The more I learn about Jesus, the more I love him. And it becomes more than the gushy, feel-good kind of love. It's a deep love. It's a love that says, put the hole in my ear. I want to serve you forever. Why are Christians dropping out? Why do they quit serving God? I'm talking about over the years I've watched. I'm talking about pastors who now want nothing to do with serving God. I think they're saved people. I think they got saved. I think they're going to go to heaven. I think they get burned out because they quit loving and working and loving and working. A deep love that wants to serve God, like this Old Testament servant. The young married couple whose love is all gushy and everything, but then they work together. They have their trials together. They go through the valleys holding hands. They go through the storms with their arms around each other, and that love just deepens. It just deepens. And they want to please each other. Yeah. And they can even become somewhat oblivious to everybody else around them because it's all about the object that I love. And they love, and they work, and they love, and they work. And their work causes them to love each other. And their love for each other, what makes them want to serve each other that much more. All love doesn't grow. We see that with the church at Ephesus. He said, do the first works. All work, that doesn't work either. We just learned it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. What's it say? Without love, it's nothing. So some couples, you're just going through the motions of marriage. Without love, it's nothing. It's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It is nothing. Same way with church work. You know, well, don't you understand? I mean, I'm in a ministry. Yeah, but without love, it's nothing. And eventually, you'll be out of there. That's how it works. And we love God. And because we love Him, we serve. And we serve Him with Him. And we love Him more. And because we love Him more, we serve Him more. And because we serve Him more, we love Him more. No devotion, eventually you quit. No work, eventually you quit. But the two together is so good. It's why there's so many divorces today. You know? Oh, we love each other. But you're not working together, and eventually you'll grow apart. And there'll be some dirtbag out there ready to snag one of you. Because they're out there. Oh, yeah. They're looking for you. Well, all we do, he goes to work, I go to work, we come home, go through the motions. He doesn't talk to me. She doesn't talk to me. She doesn't care about my needs. He doesn't care about me. And pretty soon, they're apart. Same way with church. Boy, it's so exciting to serve God. Well, don't forget, when you serve God, you better love God. Because if you serve God without loving God, eventually you'll do nothing for God. I just love God. I love God. Well, what are you doing for God? Well, I don't do anything. I just love Him. Reminds me of the one fella, I love God. Bless his heart. And anyway, the guy gets just all, well, what are you doing for? I'm not doing anything. I don't have time. Well, I don't have time to do anything for God. I just love Him. I just love God. Well, but do you ever, you know, do anything for Him? Oh, I don't have time to do it. I just love Him. Yeah, it doesn't work, does it? Well, what? If you love Him, you'll do. If you do, you love Him. And if you love Him, you do. And if you do, you love Him. Yeah, I'll tell you this. People don't quit who read their Bible, pray, walk with God, and serve God. They just keep going. In fact, they're pretty much oblivious to junk. They're just, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm loving God. And because I love God, I want to serve God. And because I love God, every time there's an opportunity, I'm there. It's just because I just love God. I love serving with God. It's fun. It's exciting. And I serve Him. And the more I serve Him, the more I love Him. The more I love Him, the more I serve Him. And that, folks, is a servant's love. And that causes a man to take the awl and to put a hole in his ear, which says to everybody around, I will serve my master forever. It's what we must have for a successful relationship with God, a successful relationship with our spouse, a successful relationship with our loved ones, our friends, our church. It is the solution, I'm telling you, to so much of the problems that we face in our lives. It's simply a matter. And by the way, it's as Jesus said it to the church of, do the first works. What'd you do? Oh, we loved God. Really? What'd you do because you loved? We served God. Oh, okay. And the more we served Him, the more we loved Him. And the more we loved Him, the more we wanted to serve. And the more we served, the more we loved. And the more we loved, the more we served. And that's how it ought to be all the way till we get to heaven.